You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and this is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I thought that this season I would do something different. Not simply pass over the Christmas season lightly, but address questions that people ask over and over again with respect to Christmas. Questions like, what about the Christmas tree tradition? Could this be a doorway into idolatry? And what about images of Jesus Christ? Or other kinds of images, icons, are they themselves idolatrous? And what about this tradition of giving gifts? Is this something that I should participate in, or is this just crass commercialism? I think perhaps the most important question of all is virgin birth. A lot of people in a materialistic culture think that this must surely be a myth, but is it really? Might it, in reality, be the greatest miracle of all? And then we talk about the spirit of Christmas, but what is that? I want to broach those and other questions on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember all the resources that I talk about on the broadcast. You can find on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants are standing by as well, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of the answers that I give to the questions that I'm going to be broaching today are found in The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. You can again find that on the web at equip.org. Also, some other fantastic resources, one titled The Heavens Proclaim His Glory. This is a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble telescope. Find that on the web as well. Or the first words of Jesus, From the Cradle to the Cross. This is written by Stu Epperson Jr. It is a fantastic resource. You can also find that on the web at equip.org. And do remember, this is the season of giving. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Well, the first question that I want to deal with today has to do with the Christmas tree tradition. Because this Christmas season, just like many others, I hear Christians condemn trees adorned with ornaments as being idolatrous. And when people do that, particularly Christians, they point to Jeremiah. And the words kind of sound like they have a point. Listen to the words. Jeremiah said, "For the customs of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and then a craftsman shapes the tree with his chisel. They adorn the tree with silver and gold, and then they fasten it with hammer and nails, because they don't want it to totter." So, if you have modern ears listening to this ancient passage, seems like there's an uncanny description of Christmas trees from the 6th century BC. But the historical and biblical context actually precludes that anachronistic reading of the text. How do we know that? Well, again, the simple word, context. The very next verse precludes this pretext. What does that verse say? Like a scarecrow in the melon patch. They're idols. They're idols. They cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. So what do we have here? Jeremiah's description of a tree cut out of the forest and adorned with silver and gold and fastened with a hammer and nails so it won't totter is a reference to wooden idols and not to Christmas trees. In fact, Christmas trees actually originated in Christian Germany 2,000 years after Jeremiah's condemnation of man-made idols. And therefore, the Christmas tree, which began as a distinctively Christian symbol, can legitimately be used by Christians today as part of their Christmas festivities. Christmas trees are not, however, essential to Christmas. A lot of Christians don't use them, and a Christmas celebration can be complete without a tree that's adorned with ornaments. But like all symbolic objects, they often aid worshipful remembrance and celebration of Christ. And therefore, we must never allow Christmas trees to take the place of that to which they point, but we can use them. What we have to focus in on is God's eternal redemptive purposes from the fall and paradise to salvation in Jesus Christ. And so I have a prayer this season, just as I do every Christmas season, and that is that you will be reminded to use the symbolism of things like Christmas trees in the homes of unbelievers as an opportunity to explain the reason for the season. And of course, the reason for the season is none other than the incarnation of Jesus Christ, through whom we can become partakers of the divine nature. You're listening to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as I answer questions that come up each Christmas season. Another one of those questions are images idolatrous? And the reason this is a question that comes up over and over again is people see images like Da Vinci's Virgin and Child in a magazine or in a movie, and that begs for them the question, is this kind of image, the image of Jesus Christ, something that is an idolatry? Well, Byzantine Emperor Leo III actually thought that that was exactly the case. And therefore, in the 4th century, he ordered the abolition of icons or revered images or sculptures of Jesus and of Mary, of angels and of saints. And that sparked a great controversy. It was called the Great Iconoclastic Controversy. And it was called that because those who supported the eradication of icons often did so on the grounds that these icons were a direct violation of the Second Commandment's prohibition of graven images. And so this event in history is known as iconoclastic image breaking, the Great Iconoclastic Controversy. Well, the controversy sparked in the 4th century actually was not relegated to the 4th century. It persists to this very day. And therefore, the question emerges, do the images of Jesus really violate the Second Commandment? That's the operative question. In answer, I would say this. If the Second Commandment condemns images of Jesus, well, then it condemns making images of anything at all. And therefore, drawn to its logical conclusion, God himself would have been guilty of contradicting himself because he commanded the Israelites to adorn the Ark of the Covenant with the images of cherubim. But I think there's a more crucial point. In context, the commandment is not an injunction against making graven images. Rather, it's an injunction against worshiping graven images. And that's why God warns, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Bottom line here, all of our worship belongs to one alone. Every single day as I begin my prayer time, I start with worship. I worship God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All worship belongs to Him. And the very first thing I do as I place my faith in God is make very, very clear, not only to God, He knows all things, but to myself, that my worship, my adoration belongs to only one. And that is the one who spoke, the universe leapt into existence, but the one who also knit me together in my mother's womb. There's one other point I want to make in this regard, and that is, if viewing an image necessarily leads to idolatry, then think about it. The incarnation of Jesus Christ would have been the greatest temptation of all, and yet Jesus thought it appropriate for people to look on him and worship him as God. That worship, however, has to be directed to his person and not to his appearance. Idolatry always lies not in the making of images, but in the worship of man-made images in the place of the image of the invisible God. And therefore, this Christmas season, it is my prayer that images of Jesus and Mary, and even old Saint Nick, images of angels praising God on high, all such images will cause you to worship the incarnate God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to men on whom his favor rests." So are images idolatrous? Absolutely not. What is idolatrous is to worship anyone or anything in place of God. One of my favorite passages in Scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 1. "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They're all going to wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. Therefore, to which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" And in that verse, we find the quintessential point. Salvation comes through the coming of Jesus Christ. And that salvation is not just an insurance policy to get you into heaven. It is the means by which you can experience life in the present. That is life indeed. The answers to all such questions in the heart of Christmas. It's a devotional for the season. You can find it on the web at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry all this month. And as well. There are some other great, fantastic resources that you can find on the web, including First Words of Jesus, From the Cradle to the Cross, a tremendous devotional, and a coffee table book, I would call it. But it is spectacular. I keep looking through it. It's like it's mesmerizing to me. The Heavens Proclaim His Glory is the title, and it's a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble telescope. All of these resources, again, you find them on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about this issue of giving gifts and then the virgin birth, miracle or myth. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence, and beyond question, the existence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. With about 2 trillion galaxies, each with billions of stars, the numbers simply boggle the mind. Yet the psalmist says, the Lord determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. As technology advances, what astronomers once thought were flickering stars turn out to be inconceivably immense galaxies at distances they could not begin to fathom. The Heavens Proclaim His Glory is the title of a new book offering a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble telescope in full-colored pictures. This beautifully crafted book will ignite conversation and keep before your consciousness the majesty of God. To receive your copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now with more of the answers you need today, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I'm going to be speaking this weekend at the church in Cerritos in Southern California. It's in the LA area. For directions and details, simply go to equip.org. You've tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as I am answering questions about Christmas. And one of those questions that comes up over and over again is, how does Christmas actually afford all of us a unique opportunity to learn the art of selfless giving? Maybe an attendant question would be, what are the inherent dangers of giving to get? Well, let's talk about giving. Some of the most troublesome aspects of gift giving are, of course, materialism and commercialism, and they are so inextricably woven into the fabric of Christmas that the attendant pressure of giving gifts to others out of a sense of obligation has turned from giving freely out of love into a commercial enterprise. And while all of us can identify with the pressure that comes with giving, it's important as well to recognize that perversions don't in and of themselves invalidate the practice of giving gifts. In fact, as the followers of the one who gave himself for us, we ought to be very glad at the notion that we can give to others. Having this unique opportunity of giving to ministries that propagate the gospel, or giving to the downtrodden and those that are so often forgotten, or giving to family members and friends. All of those things ought to overwhelm us with joy, especially when there's no expectation of giving to get. Jesus' teaching in this regard are very instructive. Remember, he was dining at the house of a very prominent Pharisee. And there Jesus admonished the guests, and probably the host as well, when he said, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, because if you do, they're probably going to invite you back, and so you're going to get repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and then you're going to be blessed, because although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Think about that. So far from suggesting that it's inappropriate to show kindness and generosity to family and friends, what Jesus here is highlighting is the reality of genuine kindness and generosity motivated by love for others, as opposed to what sometimes motivates us, and that is the expectation of favor in return. So we have to kind of turn our mindset around this Christmas season. I hope that you and I are going to give with a grateful heart, because we too have been given. And far from a burden, giving can become an extraordinary blessing. Whether you're inscribing a Christmas card or maybe purchasing a gift for a loved one, do it with a grateful heart and try to have a song on your lips. And when you give to the needy, well, remember the words of the greatest gift of all. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you give to be seen of men, you already have your reward. We want a reward that comes from heaven and a reward that has eternal implications. This all leads to perhaps the epicenter of what I want to discuss in this broadcast. And that is the virgin birth miracle or myth? You have tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm answering questions that are asked so often this time of the year. And of course, the virgin birth is an oft-discussed question or issue, because modernity has left many with the false impression that the virgin birth is nothing more than ancient superstition. I remember an op-ed piece. It was published by the New York Times, and this famous columnist, his name was Nicholas Kristof, he used the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, well, he used it to shamelessly promote the Enlightenment's false dichotomy, and it is a false dichotomy, between faith and reason. This is what he wrote. The faith in the virgin birth reflects the way American Christianity is becoming less intellectual and more mystical over time. And then he ended his piece with the following patronizing comment. The heart, he said, is a wonderful organ, but so is the brain. Well, in response, those who have a truly open mind should resist rejecting the virgin birth a priori or prior to examination. We ought to take a closer look. And here's precisely what we'll see. Miracles are not only possible, but they're necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live. Because according to modern science, the universe not only had a beginning, but it is unfathomably fine-tuned to support life. And not only that, but the origin of life, information in the genetic code, irreducible complexity of biological systems, even the phenomenon of the mind, they all pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. And therefore, it is reason that forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer, a designer who periodically intervenes in the affairs of his created handiwork. Let me put that another way. If you and I are willing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, we should have little problem accepting the virgin birth. There's another point that I think is critical in this debate, and that is that we are compelled by reason and evidence to acknowledge that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. We see the miraculous preservation of God's Word via manuscripts. In archaeology, where with virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, there's more and more piled up evidence for the people, the places, and the particulars that you find in Scripture. And then there's prophecy. Think about that. The Bible, unlike other religious books, the Bible is replete with prophecy. And all of these factors together provide a cumulative case for the reliability of Scripture. And therefore, When we talk about the virgin birth, we may legitimately appeal to the Word of God as supernatural evidence for the virgin birth. And not only that, Christ, who demonstrated that he was God in human flesh through the supernatural fact of his resurrection, pronounced that the Scriptures were infallible. We're not making that claim for the translations, but we are for the autographs, and through the translations, you can get to the autographs. Of course, if Christ concurred with the biblical record of the virgin birth, no one should have the temerity to contradict his claim. There's one other point in this regard, and let me underscore it. While it is currently popular to suggest that the gospel writers borrow the virgin birth motif from pagan mythology, in truth, the facts say otherwise. The reason I think this is a crucial point is if you go on the net and you don't have critical thinking faculties as you're there, if you don't know discernment skills, you're going to find all kinds of rubbish. It sounds tantalizingly good, but it really isn't at all. You'll encounter stories of gods having sexual intercourse with women. An example would be the sun god Apollo becoming a snake and impregnating the mother of Caesar Augustus. But these kinds of stories hardly parallel the virgin birth account. And what is more, given the strict monotheistic worldview of New Testament authors, it should stretch credulity beyond the breaking point to suppose that they borrowed from pagan mythologies, especially mis-extolling the sexual exploits of pagan gods. Christianity is anything but syncretistic. It doesn't borrow a little here and a little there, as these pagan mythologies do. It is communicating something singular. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Christ. So, bottom line, as we encounter those who capriciously cast aspersions on the miraculous nature of the virgin birth, you and I would do well to remember that we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to use our well-reasoned responses as springboards for demonstrating that the historical account of Christ coming in flesh is faith, not blind faith, but faith founded on a refutable fact. All of that, a reminder that you and I are called to give a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect, and there's no more significant time to do that than this time, because the Christian faith, quite frankly, is under assault. And we can hope that because we now live in a climate in which we can say Merry Christmas again, that all the problems are solved, but they're not. The problems are not solved because the culture devolves as a result of the entertainment industry and the educational industry, many, many reasons, even what I was just mentioning, such as op-ed pieces that you find in papers like the New York Times. We therefore must be ready to give an answer. We got more answers coming up on the other side of the break. I'm going to talk about the spirit of Christmas, what that really is. Also, we have a fabulous quote of the day. All of that and more coming up on the other side of the break. You don't want to touch that dial. If you do anything, go to thewebandequip.org and look at the resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. I'll be right back.
If someone were to ask you, what is the true essence of Christmas, would you be able to provide a well-informed response? In the new book, First Words of Jesus, From Cradle to Cross, Stu Epperson Jr. shows how the story of Christmas is really the story of the victory of the cross and resurrection. To receive your copy of First Words of Jesus as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Russell Kirk has captured our modern plight, stating, "A good many people fret themselves over the rather improbable speculation that the Earth may be blown asunder by nuclear weapons. The grimmer and more immediate prospect is that men and women may be reduced to a subhuman state through limitless indulgence in their own vices, with ruinous consequences to society. But despite the darkness, the good news is that believers can help others and themselves become winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of CRI's life-changing work, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Stu Epperson's First Words of Jesus, which poignantly connects the story of Christmas with the victory of the cross and resurrection. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis reminds us that there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God. This truth is beautifully captured in a book titled The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble telescope. In appreciation for your support of the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit online at equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from The Heavens Proclaim His Glory. This is a coffee table book. It's a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble telescope. The pictures are simply stunning, as are the words that are inscribed upon the pictures. The quote of the day comes from Henry and Richard Blackaby. The quote is found in Discovering God's Daily Agenda. And they write, "He is the creator of the universe and the designer of the human body. He is the author of salvation, history, and he is the sovereign over world history. He sits enthroned as the ultimate victor over sin, death, and pain. He keeps planets in their orbits and your heart beating. Yet this almighty God enthroned in the heavens bends down to listen to the entreaty of one of his children. It's amazing. that our Almighty God has any thoughts at all towards His creatures. But consider what the psalmist said, "Your thoughts, which are towards us, cannot be counted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." The fact that God's thoughts towards us are innumerable is more than we can fathom. God sits exalted above the universe. We are weak and needy creatures. Yet the Lord thinks of us. He hears our cries. He brings us up out of horrible places and sets our feet on rock and puts a song of praise in our mouths. He is our help and our deliverer. Go to Him now with praise. Again, from Henry and Richard Blackaby. You'll find that quote in The Heavens Proclaim His Glory. It's a fantastic resource, and the title comes, of course, from David's words, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth." As we continue with this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, answering Christmas questions, I want to note that this weekend I'll be in Southern California. I'll be at the church in Cerritos again this weekend. For details and directions, go to equip.org. Also want to mention that Sierra's work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without the faithful support of listeners just like you. Support team members undergird, they strengthen every one of CRI's 24/7 outreaches. We are equipping fellow believers here, and more importantly, perhaps, around the globe, to become a member of CRI's support team to help change our world, person by person. Go to equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letters CRI. That's 888-7000 to 7-4. Well, I want to really climax this broadcast by talking about the spirit of Christmas. The question arises, what is that? I want to ask you maybe a more specific question. Do you have the Christmas spirit? I mean, do you really have the Christmas spirit? Better yet, what is that Christmas spirit? Is it the warm and familiar feeling that you have when you're with a family member or a friend? When you're sitting around a soothing fireplace, seeing flickering candlelight? Is it the joy of seeing anticipation in the eyes of a child? Or is it the satisfaction of perhaps unwrapping a special gift? Or is the spirit of Christmas something else? Well, I think the answer to these questions is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who for our sake came that Christmas morn 2,000 years ago, who for your sake condescended to cloak Himself in human flesh, who for your sake emptied Himself, who made Himself nothing, who took on the very nature of a servant, who, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, who, far from grasping the prerogatives of divinity, humbled Himself. And that in itself is a lesson, because the Bible is very, very clear. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So I would argue that what I just described is the spirit of Christmas. It's really not the rush we experience when we get, you know, get a gift, get even a feeling or get a bonus. All of those are wonderful in and of themselves. But the real spirit of Christmas is found not in what we get, but in what we give. It is becoming ever more like our Savior in the spirit of selflessness. And not just during the Christmas season or on Christmas Day, but rather throughout the remainder of our lives. I have to say this. We live in a generation that no longer knows the joy of giving. You think of the war generation, they were givers. It was part of their DNA. But quite frankly, this generation is a consumeristic generation. And that's not just an indictment on what happens when people do not give, ministries suffer, and so forth, but it's actually an indictment on people who now have failed to recognize that the real joy comes when you give. When you don't store up treasures on earth, but rather, as Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, your heart follows your treasure. If your heart is on mean earthly vanities, those things that are impermanent, then your heart's in the wrong place. But if your heart is on eternal verities, then you have a right valuation of things. Because I will tell you, life is very, very short. This year, I buried a son-in-law that was only 47 years of age. I happen now to be 66. I'm in good health. I'm hoping God gives me another 20 years of fruitful service. My mother's 91. But my dad died when he was 74, 1997. So I'm well aware that tomorrow is not guaranteed. I'm also well aware that eternity is forever. And so we must set our sights where our sights belong, not on the temporary, but on the eternal. They say you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. And that's one of the reasons we ask people to invest in ministries like the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is genuinely making a difference for time and for eternity. But I want to get back to this point that we're talking about. What is the spirit of Christmas? Because this Christmas season, my family and I have a prayer for you, just as we have a prayer for ourselves. And that prayer is that as we see images of the poor, as they're standing in soup lines, and many are, when we see that on our television screens, I hope that we can picture ourselves placing a piece of bread in the hands of the hungry. And as we remember those in nursing homes, maybe we can envision ourselves dispensing a hug. You cannot know what that means to someone that thinks that they have been put on the shelf. They're on the bench. They're kind of out of the picture. That hug is priceless. And as we remember the widows and the orphans, perhaps you and I can imagine ourselves healing their hurts. Because ultimately, doing so is in the service of dispensing not just physical bread, but dispensing the bread of life. Remember, Jesus said that. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. I mean, that's the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is not a once-a-year experience. It is the spirit to be embraced throughout the coming year. It's the spirit of Ebenezer Scrooge, who experienced a complete metamorphosis after his encounters with the spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas yet to come. And it's the spirit I want reborn in my soul as each Christmas my family and I watch yet another rendition of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It's one of our traditions. So, bottom line, this year, as you and I wish each other a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, you and I know exactly what we mean. So, Merry Christmas, dear friend. And to all, a Happy New Year, a new year in which we serve with grace and splendor the one who came in incarnation, the one who emptied himself, kenosis. His kenosis is our theosis, meaning his emptying has opened the doorway whereby, as Peter put it, we can become partakers of the divine nature, not only for time, but for all eternity. Well, you've tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in which we invite you to give to a ministry that will continue to give to people throughout the coming year. Give as you have been given, give with a grateful heart, and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can always pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We're out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you the next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of First Words of Jesus, From the Cradle to the Cross by Stu Epperson, Jr. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence, and beyond question, the existence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. www.christmas.org.